Good evening. Welcome. You're watching Left, Right and Centre. I'm Vishnu Shom. On the programme tonight, the voices of common citizens struggling to find a hospital bed, struggling to find oxygen, or dealing with grief beyond words as India faces perhaps our greatest challenge, COVID. These are brave citizens who have chosen to speak despite their own suffering. Also coming up, India's oxygen crisis, the voices of hospital owners. Live on this program on how, within hours, they would have run out of oxygen, which would have been catastrophic for hundreds of patients struggling to breathe as it is.
...43-year-old Aslam Khan brought his severely ill 30-year-old wife Ruby and their young daughter on his bike to one of Delhi's biggest government hospitals, the Lok Nayak Jayaprakash Hospital. They've been turned back from three hospitals because despite a very worrying chest scan which shows a COVID infection, she doesn't have a COVID positive lab report.
Negative diya hai, lekin isko positive bata ke fir bhi kar rahe hai. Hai, corona hai, lekin nahi maan rahe hai. Lungs mein infection ho gaya hai. Abhi kar rahe trauma center walon ne. Nahi le rahe andar. Pant walon ne yahan bhej diya. Ab ye kahin aur bhej rahe. Ye to raste mein mar jayegi.
Khan finally managed to get into LNJP, but there are many other patients struggling. As with the new variant, though lab test reports are negative, other reports like blood tests and chest x-rays or CT scans indicate COVID. Often, they are gasping for breath, but can't get admission in a COVID ward with no COVID positive report. Rahul Verma, who runs Uday Foundation, an NGO which works with families of patients, lost his 71-year-old uncle just a few days ago, as hospital after hospital refused him admission after an initial COVID negative report.
Again, I got his COVID test done. Then I came to know that, you know, he came COVID positive. Then again, you know, we rushed him to the hospital. You know, he sat outside of that hospital for 6-7 hours without any oxygen or anything. In the next 48 hours away, you know, we just lost him to the COVID.
According to the rules, patients with such severe symptoms should not be denied admission regardless of their test result. During the last wave, hospitals even had separate observation wards for COVID suspects, but with all beds running full this time, hospitals are more stringent. And today, at testing labs across Delhi, there are long queues. 76-year-old Anil Madan and his 71-year-old wife Nidhi managed to get a test done in their fourth attempt.
I had to go to three places, the Mahajan imaging and the lifelong closed. Then I tried the Dang laboratory online, checking in, but I couldn't do it. And then I came here because I came to know that here it is, drive-in test is being done. We are hearing all kinds of reports. There are few people that first-hand knowledge that they have passed away because they couldn't get the beds.
Both central and state governments are saying that they are ramping up hospital beds, but on ground, families are struggling to get their patients admitted. And every minute lost over a COVID certificate is precious for such families. In New Delhi with camera person AJ Joseph, this is Sukirti Duvedi for NDTV.
Well, on this program, we've got many citizens who've agreed to join in to express and tell us about what they have gone through. And it's a lot of courage that they show in actually choosing to come forward. Let me go to Rahul Verma first. Rahul runs the Uday Foundation. It's an NGO which works with the families of patients. He's lost his 71-year-old uncle just a few days back. How was it very difficult, Rahul, after so many hospitals refused him admission? Could you tell us about how tough it was getting him into a hospital?
Hi, Vishnu. Hope you're safe. Everyone is safe there in NDTV. Vishnu, I've given last 14 years of my life in public service. And, you know, we are just providing food to the patient outside hospital. And we are working there. We're working very hard on the COVID from last, you know, since last March. But I never thought, you know, this is going to happen to my uncle. And, you know, who's the only elderly person was there in my family. So Vishnu, his first of all, his report took 2 days to come. Then it was negative. His oxygen was, Vishnu, 88. Then it went to 76, Vishnu. At 11 p.m., we got an ambulance. And, you know, that ambulance took him to the hospital. I do not want to name these hospitals and all. And, you know, that he left us, he left my uncle all alone outside on the gate of that hospital for the 7 hours he sat on the bench there. And then finally he got the bed 7 a.m. in the morning. And like 48 hours, Vishnu, it was so difficult. Doctors were so cooperative that point in time. They were informing me and all. But Vishnu, I could feel that, you know, we were losing the battle, which was we never imagined about. Yeah. And, you know, how can a report, a positive word is a passport to the hospital? How it is possible? Yeah. 71-year-old sitting outside of the hospital with oxygen level of 74 or 72, something like this. It is inhuman. Trust me, I do not want to. I wish I'm the last person who talk about myself. I'll be the last person who tweet about my personal thing and all. But I've never seen something like this in my life. And I do not know what to say about this thing. But, you know, I'm just begging the government. You know, we all know about what is happening, about what is happening to all of us.
Your plea for help is completely heard, Rahul. And, you know, I mean, it's just terrible. We're also joined by Neha Kumar, who's lost her grandfather today and has the courage, like Rahul, to join us. How, at one stage, was it almost impossible for you, Neha, when you had to look for a bed for 14 to 15 hours before you could actually get one? And perhaps by then it was already too late.
Yeah, Vishnu, thanks for having me here. The reason why I'm choosing to speak today is because we are a nation in mourning, and it's not just my personal loss, but our collective loss as a nation. And what I'm seeing on ground is that it took me about 4 to 5 hours to find an oxygen cylinder. I called every single helpline number, WhatsApp number that I could find. I tweeted, I posted on Instagram, and people shared whatever they could, but there was no availability of oxygen cylinders. We were parallelly also looking for hospitals. And like you said, it took us about 16, 17 hours to find a hospital bed. And I think at that point in time, having, you know, on one hand, seeing a loved one going, you know, frailing like that with their oxygen dipping. And then on the other hand, you're trying to figure out these logistics. By the end, when he finally got a hospital bed, we felt like we won this battle. And I think we had forgotten that the battle was not to get at the hospital, but with COVID, which we unfortunately lost. And one would think that, okay, when somebody has departed, the ordeal stops. But the unfortunate part is that there is so much more despair even after somebody has passed away. I speak from a place of privilege where I could afford to pay a 12,000 rupee private ambulance to take the person's body to the crematorium and have help from these people in the ambulance, as the hospital did not have an ambulance given the sheer load on them. But you know what happens about others who are not able to afford that kind of a price? Where do they go? Should they just leave their loved ones in the hospital, or should they just dump them somewhere? So it's really not just about my own personal experience here, but there are larger questions out there. And even at the crematorium, the unfortunate thing is that even at 10:30 or maybe 11 in the morning, the number on my slip was 89. And you can just imagine the kind of load that the crematorium already had from the previous day, that the morning started with a number that high. The CNG or the electric chamber of the crematorium was not working anymore because they were, I think, having so many bodies to take care of. And overall, it took us about 35 hours, I think, after he had passed away to finally get done with the last rites. And the unfortunate part is that I saw people fighting over wood logs to complete the last rites of their loved ones. And you have to understand, these are people in grief. These are people who've lost someone that they love, and they just want to get done with the last rites, and they're not able to do that because of the situation on ground. So I don't know what the numbers show, but I can definitely tell you that I saw as many bodies as you can see stacked up in the crematorium. And it took as long as it took, like I mentioned, about 35 hours overall to get the process done. So you can just imagine what the numbers are on ground versus what's reported.
It's just horrible what you've gone through over there. We are also joined at this stage by Arakshan Arya, whose relative was COVID positive. He's an advocate on record with the Supreme Court of India. For more than 8 hours, the patient needed to be admitted to an emergency ICU and was left at the mercy of luck and God, is what Arakshan told us earlier on today. Could you, Arakshan, tell us a little bit about what it is that you had to go through?
Yes, I could you please be a bit louder? I cannot hear you.
Tell us about what you went through.
See, a day before yesterday, one of my very close relatives who was COVID positive, and later on his report had come negative, but suddenly his situation deteriorated and he started facing breathing problems. So we immediately had to rush him to the nearest hospital in Sector 62 in Noida, where he was put under emergency observation and oxygen was being administered to him. But considering his situation, he was advised by the doctors to be moved into an ICU bed, but they said that they do not have any availability of the bed. So you better take your patient from here because there is only, limited things that we can do medically given his condition. So after that, we started trying and calling all the hospitals in my network, in my knowledge, whichever numbers which I had at my disposal. But for nearly almost 8 hours, we could not find any hospital where we could find an ICU bed. Later on, as luck would have it, it was my luck or my relative's luck that a patient got discharged, and at 10 p.m. in the night, for those 8 hours, that patient was under no medical, administration. He was just put on an oxygen where the advice was also that he needs to be moved to an ICU. So that was a horrific experience, that we faced as a family, me as an individual.
Yeah.
So difficult situation, though I must say that the doctors which were there, they were doing their duty to the best possible limits, because I was... this was my first experience where I actually went into, the infected area and, on ground. And it is absolutely brilliant, the duty that the doctors are doing, amidst all those patients. And even the situation around the place was horrible because there were patients who were sitting there on the wheelchair, patients on the ambulances, no beds available.
So, no, it's absolutely horrific. I cannot imagine what any of you have actually gone through, and I can't thank you enough for coming and actually expressing. People need to know what's the ground reality. Thank you so much once again. The biggest concern now in the national capital is actually oxygen and its availability in hospitals. it is very much an hour-by-hour situation. If at a certain time the oxygen doesn't arrive, people will lose their lives. It's not an exaggeration. The Delhi High Court has been looking at it all of today. They've been looking at it yesterday as well. We'll take a look at the story, and then we'll look at the oxygen crisis, and we'll look at it not just from a Delhi perspective, because this has also been happening in other parts of our country.
Struggling to breathe, Saurabh Bharadwaj, MLA from Delhi, is pleading central and Haryana government to help Delhi with oxygen supplies, as Delhi faces acute shortage of oxygen, with many hospitals with just hours of oxygen left.
Central government or Haryana government koi request karta hu ki is tarike ki cheeze na kare. Bahut sare log is oxygen pe dependent hain.
51-year-old Ashish Goyal pleads with folded hands for oxygen supply for his hospitalized father, who is on ventilator at Delhi's Sarod Super Speciality Hospital. After hospital authorities informed Mr. Goyal that only 15 minutes of oxygen is left at the hospital.
Har ab 15 minute ki backup aa raha hai ki 15 minute mein hi oxygen khatam hone wali hai. Pure log sab oxygen ke liye bahut pareshan hain. Hospital bhi bahut koshish kar raha hai ki kisi tarike se oxygen aaye, aur otherwise agar oxygen nahi milti hai to bahut yahan pe patients ki jaan ko khatra hone wala hai.
In a major respite to over 150 COVID patients, Sarod Super Speciality Hospital received a tanker of medical oxygen. However, the situation remains critical in several other hospitals. In a private hospital in Ghaziabad, ambulances, instead of transporting patients, are now transporting oxygen cylinders to be refilled. The situation in Vaishali's Lakshmi Chandra Hospital is extremely critical, with 118 COVID patients and nearly an hour of oxygen left.
कोई ऑक्सीजन सप्लाई नहीं है.
नहीं फिलहाल में तो नेगेटिव मुझे रात की रिपोर्ट आई.
कुछ भी है, मैं अस्पताल में किसी मरीज को भर्ती करने की पोजीशन पे नहीं हूँ. ऑक्सीजन आ नहीं रही है.
Upset with the present scenario, MD Mukesh Goyal has written a letter to the administration appealing them to take over the hospital.
ऐसी कंडीशन के अंदर हमने शासन से भी कहा, शासन कोशिश कर रहा है लेकिन कोई सफलता मिल नहीं रही है. तो आखिर में मजबूरन होकर हमने कहा कि शासन हमारा हॉस्पिटल टेक ओवर कर ले, जिस तरह से चाहे हमारा पूरा स्टाफ उसको कोऑपरेट करेगा, कम से कम हम अपना जो टाइम है वो मरीजों के इलाज के लिए लगा सकते हैं.
शांति मुकुंद हॉस्पिटल, अनदर हॉस्पिटल इन ईस्ट दिल्ली, हैज स्टार्टेड डिस्चार्जिंग पेशेंट्स हु आर नॉट ऑन ऑक्सीजन सपोर्ट ड्यू टू द लैक ऑफ ऑक्सीजन. द हॉस्पिटल अलेजेस दैट द फर्म रिस्पॉन्सिबल फॉर प्रोवाइडिंग ऑक्सीजन हैज स्टॉप्ड रिस्पॉन्डिंग टू आवर कॉल्स.
हमारे पास 110 पेशेंट एडमिटेड है, जिसमें से अराउंड 12 वेंटिलेटर पे हैं और 85 मोर देन 5 लीटर ऑक्सीजन है, और सारे के सारे सिक पेशेंट हैं, और जो हमारे कुछ पेशेंट जो डिस्चार्ज हो सकते हैं उनको डिस्चार्ज करने को बोल दिया.
Meanwhile, the Delhi High Court gave stringent direction to the central government for smooth supply of oxygen to the hospitals, a special corridor for oxygen transportation, adequate security for the tankers. If anyone stops, obstructs the movement of oxygen, criminal action will be taken against them. Earlier, the central government had claimed that to meet the exponential rise in demand, it has increased quota of oxygen for 7 states.
The COVID-19 situation in the country has deteriorated so much right now that despite the efforts from the central as well as the state government, several hospitals, especially in Delhi NCR, are reporting shortage in oxygen for COVID-19 patients that are admit in these hospitals. And the lives of hundreds of COVID patients are dependent on these kind of oxygen cylinders, and these cylinders are somehow managing to keep them alive. The cameraperson Sushil Rathi and correspondent Saurabh Shukla and Ravi Ranjan Shukla, Akshay Dongde, 20 TV.
That's now Brigadier Manohar Khajuria. He is the director of Saroj Hospital. Brigadier Khajuria, how close was it for you today?
It was frightening. We had such a crisis today, and not only today, it has been happening for the last 3 days. We have been having such a frightening time that when was getting goosebumps. Last two days also, we had a very, very close shave. When the vehicle, that is the tanker, arrived, we had just 15 minutes of oxygen left. And today it was even lesser. When we got the tanker, we had just about five minutes of gas, that is oxygen left. So I was really going through a very, very tough time as to what will happen after 5 minutes in case the tanker doesn't come. Or if there is a slight amount of delay in the tanker, maybe on the roadside there is a red, you know, traffic light which stops it, or anything can go wrong. So it was really by the skin of the teeth that we got saved today. It was really bad.
Have this problem tomorrow as well.
I suppose government is taking certain actions. They have told us. I only hope that it doesn't happen, because we cannot take this kind of stress every day.
Right. Well, let's hope you actually do get that, this flow of oxygen consistently. Dr. Skand Trivedi, the head of cardiology at the Bansal Hospital, Bhopal, joins us. Dr. Trivedi, how bad was it for you today? How close was it for your patients?
I'm not able to hear. There's some interference coming.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you, but there's some other sound also.
Oh, don't worry about the other sound, sir. You're live on air. Okay. My question to you, how close was it for you today?
For me, we were fortunate that we had about 4 hours of supply left. And when your program aired and our guys were already there. And hello?
Go ahead. Keep talking. Hello? Yes. Go ahead.
Hello?
Go ahead. Hello? Keep talking. Yes.
Yeah. So when we informed collectors and all, they were quite helpful, and their program also helped us. And before we could end our last 2 hours, we got a supply for a few hours. And then they have assured us that in the midnight at around 1 or 2 o'clock, they will give us some more supply. But this irregularity in oxygen supply has become a difficult task for all of us. You know, every day we have to fight from morning till evening, and we are not sure how much of oxygen at the end of the day we will get. And the situation is becoming bad to worse, that now the problem is that the relatives and patient families are asking us, why are you not giving us the bed? And I'm quite afraid that this is going to lead to civil unrest. And therefore, government should do something about it. I know government is also handicapped. They also don't know how much of oxygen can come. These are unprecedented times. Some of us thought of this in the past. Some of us never thought of this. And that's the problem what we are facing today. So we are not at all prepared. And my worry, Vishnu, is one, that in coming 2 weeks, those patients who have got cured of COVID are going to visit us back again with respiratory illnesses, and our oxygen requirement are going to go exponentially. So right now, I think all of us are factoring in only the COVID, and that also we are not able to address. Just think about the post-COVID, those who have survived, the situation sounds pretty bad. Now, another thing which I want to say is that through your channel is that many of our patients, when they're on high flow oxygen or on oxygen, they want to talk to their relatives on mobile phone. Now, through your channel, I want to appeal to all of them that please don't do it. Not only you waste a lot of oxygen, but you are creating a big fire hazard. We have seen some of the hospitals suffer, but it is so difficult for patients, I can understand. But if you, through your channel, can re-emphasize that relatives should not do it. And lastly, I want to make one more point towards oxygen supply is that I have not seen it being done. The police department should take control of all the COVID centers. They should have their plan ready with them.
Right.
They should teach all the staff, because some of the hospitals do not have training. Many of the COVID hospitals have just propped up.
No, so I take that point, and that's certainly something we would, get around to discussing more. But I'd like to thank you both very much for joining us. And it's frightening that in a situation like this, you are down to a few hours of oxygen. And as leaders in your hospitals, as directors in your hospitals, you don't know what's going to happen next. It couldn't be worse as India goes through perhaps our biggest challenge. We're going to take a short break. There's more coming up.